express yourself.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. This is a July 26th edition of Talk Line, the radio show for you in the YK Delta and beyond to call in with your opinions, points of view. I'm Diane McGachran.
And I'm Peter Atchek. Good morning.
And we are ready, willing, and able to take your calls. Iris is in the booth producing today, so you will be hearing from Iris when you call in. And we have our first caller, as usual, John Nick. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning, Dan, and everyone there. How you guys doing there?
Okay, good morning.
I'm trying to remember who you mentioned here.
Yeah, good morning, John.
I have some thoughts in my mind.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, I'd like to speak about our representative, Tiffany
Zolkowski.
Yeah. She. Okay. I read on Facebook that she was negative towards the PFD, towards us getting the PFD. She even said the village were dumb and stubborn. They didn't want to have their dividend distributed to them because they wouldn't know how to spend it. Now, that's a stupid statement to make.
Did you read that? Did she actually use the word dumb and stupid?
She used the word stupid village.
To describe stupid village?
Yeah, in Facebook.
I would be really surprised. Okay.
And she's supposed to be a representative. I voted for her, and I think I shouldn't have voted for her because of the way her idea philosophy is. She thinks that because everybody's getting a dividend, they don't know how to spend it. She wants them to give it to nonprofit agencies so that they can spend the money, their own money. Now, listen, ma'am, they have to pay bills, they have to pay electricity, they have to pay for hunting essentials, and all that, like I do when I go on airfares. Airfares are really expensive to go out on hunting and stuff like that. And then you pay for gas and all that, and then I make sure I pay that when I get my dividends, stuff like that, pay on my bills. Now, she should be more responsible than that, thinking of other people's needs rather than her own. Maybe she makes a lot of money. She don't need to worry about that. If she does, why don't you spend your money on nonprofit agencies? I'll tell you how to spend your dividend. That same message she's stating in her statement here. And I bet you all the constituents that favor her are the ones that are calling up. I bet you 10 to 1 that no villager in the villages are going to say, I don't want a dividend. I bet you it'll be zero. That's the way I feel about it. Because she has to understand people use this money for their needs, not her own needs, not others' needs. But people who need to survive, pay electricity, subsistence, living, all that, they need the money. And the oil and the airfares are expensive. So maybe you should enlighten your wake up here a little bit and think about this, because you're not going to get reelected with that process in mind. I'm not going to vote for her. I'm sorry I did.
Okay. Thank you.
And another thing I'd like to mention is a lot of the people are coming here drinking and all that from the village and blaming Bethel for their troublemaking. Now, listen, everybody, if you're going to be pointing fingers, point at yourself first before you point to others.
Yes.
And another thing, this liquor store don't belong to the city of Bethel. It belongs to another corporation. And if you want to do something, don't point fingers. Point at yourself before you say needless things that don't mean nothing except for you. You're the one that's causing the problem, not Bethel. And if you want help with your addiction, there's a lot of addiction programs that will help you to understand your method of addiction, get over it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't point fingers. That's bum. Makes Bethel look bum. I was born and I love it here. I love the community. I love the people. And, that's really demeaning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It ain't our problem. It's the individual problem. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
I got a little carried away almost.
That's all right. That's what
this
show is for.
Yeah, well, it kind of, irritates me and all that. I'm sure it does others. So thank you, Peter and Diane and your other host there.
Yeah. okay, that would be Peter.
Okay. Yeah.
Peter
and please, everyone, wear your life jacket. And please don't drink and drive. And you go and berry pick and pick all your trash and everything else with
yes.
you. Take it home and just leave the land as pristine as it was. And if you're out there hunting and stuff too, make sure you know where you're shooting.
Yes.
Please have safety first.
There you go.
Yeah, clear enough, Peter.
Thank
everybody.
You. Yes.
Okay.
You guys have a good morning.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
We're
okay. First, you know, I want to be clear here. I've read almost everything that Tiffany has put out. I've never heard her say the word stupid or dumb, village, or in any way. So I'm really interested to search and find a direct quote in writing from herself where she said that. Now, the one that I did read is she had voted for a $1,600 PFD because her concern was all the other services that were going to be cut in order to make it up to 3,000. So yeah. she was balancing it out, but I didn't really hear the part about dismissing rural people. So anyway, Harry from Tuksuk Bay is on the line. Good morning, Harry.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning, Harry.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Tamak.
Yeah.
I just want both of you to explain what permanent really means. Definition. Permanent. That's all.
I'm not... I don't know that. Yeah, maybe someone out there, if you understand sort of the development of the PFD and what the permanent part meant, please call in and let us know. I assume it meant when they developed it that they wanted in perpetuity forever that every year Alaskans would receive some benefit from the mineral or in this case oil extraction that happens in the state. So just a reminder to everyone, when you call in and if you're put on hold, you'll be able to hear Peter and I talk, but you will not hear other callers responding to or talking. So it might sound as if we've hung up on you and we haven't. So if you've been put on hold, hang in there. Second thing I'd like to remind people of is would you make sure that your radio is turned off or very, very low, because when the radio's in the background and it's on a delay, it makes it harder for us to hear you. All right, we have another caller from Bethel. Liz. Good morning, Liz. Welcome to Talkline.
Hold. I got to turn my radio off.
Oh, there you go. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you. Okay.
Oh, see, I can hear myself in the background.
Yeah.
She had to walk across the street to turn it off.
Okay. I have a good question for you guys. Who owns that liquor store down there?
Down, the one down by the river?
Yes, there's only one.
Right, okay. I thought it was first owned by Sea Lion Corporation, and it changed hands and is in the hands of whoever is the current manager, and I'm not sure who that is. What would you like to say about it?
That's really sad. You know, that liquor store down there is, I don't know, they accept anybody. My son is now in jail, my number one runner, and he was on probation with his girlfriend. I thought they don't let the probation people go get liquor. What's happening? That's what I heard. They don't let the people who have probation. My son was number one. To me, he was a runner. Villagers call him, get up and take off. Yep. That liquor store is deadly one. They lie about people who are on probation. There's lots of villagers who are on probation from their village police. And what's happening? There's a girl, if I know her, she's got kids who've been looking for. my five-year-old girl. The father was picked up last week for DV5. Been asking for her dad. I don't explain. To tell you a truth, a month and a half ago or a month ago, I'm calling from across the slough. A woman coming with no pants. I got raped. I kick her out to go back to that place. I know where that rape, where she got raped, beaten up. And last week, end, there was another woman coming with no top, bras on, no shoes. She was beaten up, and it's from the same area. You know what the cops did? They never do nothing. It's why they never do nothing. It's happening where there's one place. And it's in my area. My little girl, I call her my little girl, my granddaughter. And I have a grandson in here. They live with us most of the time. Five and six-year-old kids. It was kind of late hour. They running. Grandma, Grandma, look. That drunk woman out there crying. And cops take her out. They put her in their car. And they were waiting for ambulance. Ambulance come. Cops never go to those assaulters. They take off someplace. That's the second time I watched. I witnessed that too. When I kicked that other one out, first one, she went across from me. Cops pick her up, ambulance, I guess, and the cops take off. Never go to those rapers or assaulters. This isn't that awesome. Cops. They don't care about Bethel, Eskimos. They go for white people. They help them out right away. They jump up. Thank you very much and good morning.
Thank you, Liz. Yes. We're sorry things are happening in your area and to the family and those description of events that occurred.
Wow, yeah, that's kind of, it. You know, yeah. I can hear in her voice,
yeah,
the anguish, and it's something that we all care about, we notice, and we're not quite there yet in making sure our communities are really safe from addiction, and so I hear in her voice sort of that need to get that. All right, we're going to go ahead to our next caller, and that's Herman from Antioch. Welcome to the show, Herman. Good morning.
Good morning, Herman.
Good morning, there. If you have this, go to Alaska Channel 7040. They're talking about our dividend right now, and watch what Tiffany says about our dividend. They're trying to give us like a $1,500 dividend and spend the rest for us. I agree with the other caller. I think we need to change our representatives. Anyhow, go to Channel 7040 if you have this. They're talking about the dividend right now. The governor's probably going to veto these guys. They're breaking the law. You know, earlier they tried to say Governor Dunleavy for taking away senior benefits. They're doing some lawmakers like our representatives who put it on the budget to take away benefits from seniors. So the lady who called last week was saying that Supporting Dunleavy, she's been giving wrong information. But it's not over yet. But go to that channel and watch right now. And, you know, they need to pull their liquor store down. They did it before. They're like $100, you know. No amount of trouble is worth the money they're getting from taxes, you know. And, but then you have, they want to take it away and give it to these non-profits who are turning it into a welfare state for everybody, depend on the state for everything. And here, we should give the money to us. We need it. But call Tiffany's office and tell her we need that money. And I'm in Hoffman's office. Okay, but it's on right now. They're talking about it right now as we speak. I'm watching it. Go to TV to watch it. See for yourself that Tiffany and all the senators are agreeing to it. All the senators say even $1,600 is too much for us. That's not right, you know. Okay, everybody have a nice day. Okay. All of those decisions. Don't listen to every beating heart. They want more money for their salaries or programs, and they're saying, please take away people's permanent funding that we need. That's not right, you know. 400 nonprofits is just too much. Medicaid expansion, there's got to be a better way there to cost $2 billion. You know, the education is failing with lowest in the nation. They want more money. We're not getting our money's worth. Okay, you guys.
Okay.
We hate to complain. I'm not complaining. We're trying to make things right. And
okay.
Okay.
Coming up, if someone running against you or different ideas, vote for them. Okay, bye.
All right. Thanks,
thank
Herman.
You, Herman.
Yes. There was a lot of static in our connection, you know, but our staff is looking into that, see what is causing that. So, be patient, hang tight, you know, and our lines are open at this time.
Yeah.
The numbers are 543-KYUK, that's 543-5985, and
1-800-995-8954.
Also 543-2756.
And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. We'll read your email over the air. As a matter of fact, we do have an email. So
okay.
Let me just open that up. So last week we had Alyssa Rogers on. She was making some announcements, and I asked her if our local Fish and Wildlife had a program or some research going on to track the impact of climate change on local species and plants, birds. And so Ray Bourne he's a deputy refuge manager, the Yukon Delta, National Wildlife Refuge, and he writes in, good morning. Last week on Talkline, there was a question about climate change monitoring by Fish and Wildlife Service. The scientific arm for Fish and Wildlife is the U.S. Geological Survey. Here is an article from them on the monitoring. So I will open up that article and I can give some details on it. But he gave a link for the article. This year, Woods Hole Institute, which is a from back east, is conducting a study on permafrost changes, so we know that's happening. A potential outcome from ADAPT YK Delta workshop on August 6th through 7th. A potential outcome. Oh, so there's going to be an ADAPT YK Delta workshop on August 6th through 7th in conjunction with the AVCP CEDS workshop. When people email in, they should spell out what the acronym is.
Yes.
Because we don't know what a CED. I'll bet the E stands for environmental. I'm just going to say.
Okay.
Maybe. Who knows?
Right.
Anyway, there's a workshop pertaining to research going on in the YK Delta, and they'll be developing a network of climate monitors in the villages of the YK Delta. All people in the region are invited to participate in the conference on August 6th through 7th. Now, I wonder if there'll be a way for people in villages to participate, either through audio or live streaming, which is kind of hard for the villages to be able to live stream, participate that way. But anyway, that's some information. So
where's that? Is it like a meeting, or that one you mentioned in that email? Was it like a meeting?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a workshop.
Okay.
August 6th and 7th. I'm going to assume it's going to be in the YK Delta. So maybe if someone from AVCP is familiar with the ADAPT YK Delta workshop, maybe you could tell us a little more about where it's going to be held. Do people need to register in advance? And maybe a little more about it. That'd be great.
Yes.
So Okay, so that's a little bit of it. So I like that idea of village-based climate monitors, because then you have people directly there who know every, you know their area like the back of their hand, and they have lots of resources in the community, like elders and people who are older who have experienced the trends in climate.
Yeah.
Like yourself.
We have a caller from Bethel. We say good morning to Willie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hi. No, from Blueberry Shot. I just have a simple question this morning. Okay, when the liquor store
Who brought the liquor store into Bethel?
Oh, well, the first one, AC.
Yeah,
had the first liquor store recently.
Is that has something to do with the city?
Well, the city council approved the liquor license.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the city that brought it in.
How did Hooper Bay persuade them?
Oh, okay. So then B and C had a liquor license, and then that was sold to Sea Lion Corporation.
Did they get help from Marla Corporation or just the corporation?
Oh, I don't know. Don't know that.
See? Probably not.
And they don't care what lives it caused or what problem it caused around there. We had that concern very big time before around Bethel area.
Mm-hmm.
Then why not Bethel people are being run over by out-of-towners? We know what's safe for our people around there. We grew up the Bethel. We raised the Bethel. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to know that simple question. Anyway, you're wasting my time. I'm going to go pick my blueberries.
Wow.
okay, now, good for you, yeah.
Good morning, you guys.
All right, have a wonderful day.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a quick announcement here, email in.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Could you read the following message on Talkline today? Yes, I will. Do you think you have food poisoning or see something yucky at a restaurant?
Oh,
my goodness. Yes. Call or text the Alaska Food Safety and Sanitation Program, Yuck Line. Didn't know there was a Yuck Line. At 907-764-YUCK.
YUCK.
Yuck. Let's just see what the numbers are for that. So I can get that proper. The Yuck Line. Okay, so why? Look, I'm like a cyber. I'm going to get that number.
Okay.
It's like a cryptic message I'm going to decipher. But meanwhile, we have Howard from Bethel. Good morning,
yes,
Howard.
Good morning.
Welcome
good
to Talk
morning.
Line.
How are you doing?
Yeah, we're good. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Hey, I hear a lot of complaints about the liquor store. You know, it's a choice if you want to go in there and buy something. It's a choice for you to, you know, how much you buy. But from what I hear, that they limit three bottles for three people or per people.
I think it was three.
A gallon or something like that for a day or something.
Yeah, there is. They've just passed an ordinance to make to have a limit on how much you can buy.
Mm-hmm. And for the strong villages that are calling in making complaints, this was a Bethel vote. It is the Bethel vote,
mm-hmm.
and we honor everybody's vote in Bethel. That is local, you know?
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So why do you sit there and let this lady talk about stuff like that she could personally herself call the police and then walk over there and say, hey, this is a problem house, you know,
mm-hmm.
to the policemen there or the surrounding people that are living there with her and the surrounding people that her neighbors and stuff go there and say, hey, this is a problem house. This is a problem house. And this is where a lot of people are coming out having these real bad scenes there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do that. I do that. If I stayed in housing, I would do it right away in the heartbeat. You know, I wouldn't sit there and just let things boil over and then keep on boiling. You know, and that's what Bethel needs to do. Some people need to get up their rear end and start doing things to help the situation that people are overindulging in. Scaring their kids, you know? There's a lot of stuff like you guys would sit there and, you know, let this go on and on and on, and let's spend a whole bunch of money in college and the hell with the people that are sitting there having the problems over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
So really, you guys need to really go out there and try to tell these guys, don't just side one side and then don't listen to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to us all. Listen to some of the people that were complaining about that because they don't know how to confront this kind of stuff. Many people are drunk because they don't know how to stop when it's time to stop.
Right. Yeah.
And what do you sit there and you just say, they need help. Somebody's in an addiction. It's not an addiction. It's a desire to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know when to stop, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, it's just like religion. You'll take that religion and use it to better yourself. Some people leech off it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to get things straight here instead of things always going over and over and over about Bethel people, you know?
Sure.
Like John said, I love my Bethel, you know?
Yeah. It sounds like we're going to station break, Howard. Thank you so much for your call. And everyone, will go on a break. If you're on hold, waiting to call in or be on the air, please keep on hold. We're just going to go for a quick station break.
All right. Pray and have a good weekend.
Thank you. Yeah. You too.
Hey, thanks, bye. Howard.
So glad you called.
Yes.
Bye.
Okay.
Oh, are we on it? Are we on the station break?
Picture yourself. It's midday on a Saturday, and you're doing whatever it is that you do at midday on a Saturday. Now take that picture and add in fun and upbeat music. Isn't that better? I thought so. Catch the Saturday Fun Mix from noon until 2 p.m. on KYUK 640 AM.
Can't you have fun, fun, fun till the night it takes a TV?
Hi, I'm Louis Long from Mountain Village. You're listening to KYUK 640 AM in Bethel, Alaska, the YK Delta's best public radio station.
Hello, this is William Simon from Bethel. Keep your radio tuned to KYUK 640 AM in Bethel, Alaska, Delta's best public radio station.
Hi, I'm Gerald Simon from Tunutuliak. Listen to the news, weather, and music right here on KYUK 640 AM in Bethel, Alaska.
Okay, we're back on air. Thank you, everyone. We have Alyssa from Fish and Wildlife. Thank you, Alyssa, for waiting, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Alyssa.
Iris, is Alyssa on there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've got that pretty music playing in the background, but now you're on. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, maybe you could help us, because Ray had sent in an email about the August 6th and 7th YK Delta meeting. Maybe you have more information on that?
So were you guys able to? Yeah. So first of all, I wanted to get back with you in regards to the climate change question that you had asked, and we had dug some into it, and Ray sent me some information on. So if it's okay, I'll go ahead and read that, and maybe I'll call back later for BIA trespassing announcement.
Okay,
so with the case study that's going on right now in the Yukon Delta Villages is a document baseline environmental data that students and community residents in four remote Alaskan villages are measuring environmental data to identify their climate vulnerabilities. For thousands of years, Native Alaskans, Yupik and Jupik cultures have flourished in the unique region, sustained by hunting, fishing, and gathering the region's diverse plant life. The Arctic and subarctic regions are warming faster than anywhere else on the Earth. In recent years, residents of the Yukon Delta have noticed unusual conditions. Hunters are restricted to smaller areas, and they can have difficulty harvesting the game upon which they depend on. In order to make choices that will help them adapt to new conditions, residents need an understanding of how things are changing and how things can affect them. The lack of historical baseline data in the remote locations makes it difficult to predict how things will change in the future. A group of scientists from government agencies and universities collaborated with the community members of four indigenous communities. In the winter and spring of 2014, research and committee members gathered observation in project called Strategic Needs of Water and on the Yukon, which is also known as Snowy. The funding from the National Science Foundation, research and residents worked together to document observations from all the generations in the communities. These use both quantitative and qualitative methods to tell the story of environmental change in the region. All the information collected during this project is digitized and housed in a community atlas developed by exchange of local observation and knowledge of the Arctic, ILOCA. The community atlas gives residents a way to contribute observations as well as access their data that can help them identify climate threats and develop adaptation strategies. With the permission of community's involvement, staff in Snowy Project expect all atlas will be accessible to the public, highlighting the knowledge that these communities hold in their environment and the observations they have changed we're experiencing. Now this year, the Woodhull Institute is conducting a study in permafrost change, a potential outcome of ADAPT YK Delta workshop on August 6th through the 7th in Bethel, in conjunction with the AVCP CEDS workshop, would be developing a network to climate community monitors in the villages of the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta. All the people in the region are invited to participate in the conference on August 6th through the 7th. And if you guys need location information, I can probably get that for you guys.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And did you say something about the ADAPT YK Delta workshop on August 6th and 7th? That's in conjunction with AVCP.
Where, that's correct.
Where is that held again?
I believe that's held at the Moravian.
Okay.
Okay.
But I don't and is, quote me on it. I'll have to double check on
is that workshop open to everyone, or do you have to sign up first?
As far as I know, it's open to everyone.
Okay.
Someone else can correct me, then I'd be greatly appreciate. But as far as I know, it's open to people.
Okay. Awesome. And what was the BIA, and the, real quick, the BIA trespassing that you wanted to say?
Let's see.
And then we'll go to our next caller.
Okay. Well, we've been having an issue with people going up to BIA trespassing on U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service land. The reason why we're trying to keep people out of there is because the land is so contaminated that it's causing cancer in people. So we wanted to make an announcement to inform people that the chemical hazardous contents are airborne, they're in the soil, and they're in the groundwater and the at the BIA building the building site.
Those burned out buildings?
Yeah. Even in the outlying areas where people are saying they're going berry picking, I wouldn't have people go up there to go berry picking.
Now, would you say that the range for that extends as far as like the white ball? Because I know a lot of people berry pick out around that white ball. Or is it close? Do you think it extends that far?
No, I don't think so. It's mainly in the BIA facility areas.
Okay.
Around that area is pretty much people. So we're requesting people to avoid accessing those lands based on health hazards. Mm-hmm. There's PCB chemicals known to attribute to cancer, brain cancer, liver, gallbladder, biliary tract, gastrointestinal tract, breast and cancer, and many more. So
asbestos too, right?
Yeah, and there's asbestos too. And I'm getting more information as I'm compiling these notification and flyers I'll be putting out. We just want to make sure that we don't want people to get sick or more sick than they already are. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to go up there and end up with leukemia or severe aspiration pneumonitis or even suffocate from other diseases go up there. So, I mean, it's just common sense. If there's something bad that's going on there, please teach your kids not to go up there. One of the biggest things is when I go up there is I see a whole bunch of kids playing around up there, and I said, "You guys need to go home.
It's such
you
a
can't be up here.
It's such a teenager hangout." And then they go up on top of those big water tower, a water container or the oil. And they go up and hang out. And I know you guys try to put that gate across, and somebody always plows through it and break the gate. Well, thank you. Great reminder that parents should really talk more about with their teenagers about.
And then all that information about the first part of your announcement, you know.
Yep, it's on the website.
Yes.
It's on the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service website.
Okay, all right. That's good. Yeah, and then make sure you send a copy over to Delta Discovery.
Will do, definitely will do.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for everything. You guys have a wonderful day and have a wonderful week.
Okay, thank you.
Be safe. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks.
All right. Next we have Willie. Good morning, Willie. Welcome to Talk Line.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Willie.
Hey, I was listening to the council meeting the other night, and I thought, I'm not usually too much into restrictions, but I thought maybe they should have just made that a one-bottle limit. Because you're going to have two liquor stores, so that means you could have two bottles of enough for any alcoholic in one day. And they're going to have runners running to get, and I forget what they come up with, I think three-bottle limit or something per store. That's still six bottles.
Oh, I see.
I thought they could have got a little tougher on that and kind of limited them down, because it's going to be the same thing whether you're buying the booze here in Bethel or whether, like the old days when everybody bought out Anchorage, they were always having somebody else order for them anyway. Mm-hmm. But here it's a runner system, you know. Mm. So they could have, I think, slowed it down maybe a little better. And I wondered, from the time that BNC put the liquor store in there in front of the limit, I wondered why the city just didn't go ahead and fence that whole section off right across. You know, they could have strung fence right on down alongside the road and made it for the boats and the barges parking in there. And people wouldn't be sitting over there at the picnic tables falling off the side of the river, you know? I think that's poor planning on the city's part.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to PFDs, I can tell you right now, there are a lot of people unhappy in the villages. And anybody that's going to try to cut the funding and steal the funds from the people is going to lose this coming election. And Tiffany's in a ton of trouble right now. She was out here with the Dog and Pony Show this last fall at $690 a PFD. That she's in favor. I think she'd probably go for zero. That's personally what I think.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard her make any comment to that effect. But
but nobody's put it out there for her to vote on either. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen her put anything out there. How about trying to maybe increase the amount of revenue for taxes on mined minerals? If they put in pebble, we're only going to get less than 1% in royalty for a mined mineral.
What about the oil companies?
Why doesn't she try to do something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anyway, PFDs, there's nothing more important to a village's economy. Don't destroy it by turning your funds over to all the nonprofits. That's what I got.
Okay.
Yep. Bye.
Thanks, Willie.
Okay. Thank you, Willie. Mm-hmm. So, we have Renee from mm-hmm. Bethel. I'm just going to guess this might be about the cultural center tomorrow having
good morning,
Saturday
Renee.
Market.
Good morning, and you're absolutely correct.
Thank you.
We are having a Saturday market tomorrow, and doors open at 8:30 for our vendors, and from 10 to 2 for the public. There'll be lots of new things out there for people to look at and hopefully buy. And, of course, you can visit with your friends, and there'll be lots of good things to eat as well. So come on down to Saturday Market. I'm just going to recap a little bit about Taste of Bethel. I think I've got all my chefs lined up. We've got 18 different chefs that have different ethnic backgrounds. Some might be the same, but we're just going to celebrate diversity in our community, and I am still looking for one chef who will do something yupik chupik, anything from guduk to fry bread to, unfortunately, we can't do salmon or meat unless it's been processed commercially, but I always am looking for someone to do that. If someone's interested in making stuff, and just a reminder, we sell tickets for $5 at the door. You go in and you say you get $20 worth. You get to go try four different things. You give the ticket to the chef. At the end of the night, the chef will turn those tickets in, and they get all the money. The cultural center keeps nothing. Mm-hmm. So this money goes directly back to each of the chefs. It's a little bit of income for them and just kind of spreading the, I don't know if we'd say goodwill, but, you know, spreading the wealth around a little bit. So that's on August 31st from 3 to 5 p.m. here at the Cultural Center, the Taste of Bethel. Two more things I'll mention, and I'll be real quick about it. I know I'll run out of time. Bethel Council on the Arts. First concert is with Che Apalecha. They're a combination of bluegrass meets Argentinian music. They're really, really good. You can see them on YouTube. They're four guys, and they're really great. We're very excited about having them come to Bethel and the Bethel Council on the Arts, who did lose funding when the Alaska State Council on the Arts had to shut their doors. We lost quite a bit of funding there. So we are looking for sponsors, by the way. But we're still going to bring arts and music to Bethel because it's important to keep that alive in our community. And the last thing I'm going to mention is that on October 12th will be the Steel Salmon and Raven Auction, sponsored by the Kuskokwim Art Guild. And that's on October 12th, and we will have tickets for that soon. So
okay.
That's all I'm going to talk about today unless you have some questions.
No, that sounds good.
Well.
I'll be at the Saturday market tomorrow, roaming around.
All right, I'll see you then.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Renee.
Bye.
Okay, next we have Joe from Bethel, and then it looks like Tiffany Zolkowski is after Joe. All right, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good
so far.
Yeah, it's amazing how this governor promised us $3,000 dividend and then go and try to make all these budget cuts and then come to find out, we're finding out what everybody makes in terms of salaries. And, you know, the state should look at its salary people or hourly people and make sure they're paying them accordingly, not based upon the rest of the country. You know, I'm surprised that people at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and UAA are making almost $500,000 just to work. Makes you wonder why we have such a high cost of education when it comes to college.
I don't think anyone makes $500,000 in the university system. Maybe the president makes, I think, a little over $300,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money for one person when you could take that money and apply it to education instead of salaries. You know, if this governor is going to make some changes and if he's going to cut the budget, he should look at the salary of all state employees and make sure they're paid accordingly and based upon how many years they got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's trying to cut everybody's lifestyle and what we do everywhere in this whole state of Alaska.
Okay, you know? So, yes. Anything else, Joe?
Well, it don't make sense to make these budget cuts when you should look at the salary, all the people that work for the state of Alaska and making sure they're paid accordingly.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, look at, you know, it's amazing how this guy at UAA can make $300,000 a year.
Well, that's a normal rate for a president of a university, just so you know. That's not unusual in the United States.
Well,
actually, that's lower than some other university presidents actually make a lot more.
Yeah, well, we're not as big as the rest of the universities around the country.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
know, but he's still, you know, some of these people, they're making too much money.
Okay.
You know, if they cut down their salary in half or something and apply it toward the school, maybe we'll have a better school system for any kind of education.
Okay. Or we could have a personal income tax.
Yeah, that too. But I remember paying that. It wasn't no big deal.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was part of, that's part of life, death and taxes.
Okay.
So anyway, you know, if he's going to make any more budget cuts, he should get the salary of every state employee and make sure they're paid accordingly and what position they're, you know, in to make sure they're being paid accordingly, like I said, and then do a salary restructure if need be and start right there. You got to start within the entity that's running the state.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay.
People don't think about that stuff.
Well, if the budget cuts go through, then they'll be close to 2,000 in the university system anyway. Close to 2,000 people will lose their jobs, so there's a great savings there, right?
Well, you don't want to, you know, education's a good thing. That's why we got people doing what they do today, because they went to school for it.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Well, Dunleavy's a UAF graduate.
Well, yeah, that other thing I forgot to bring up. He's a graduate from that system he's trying to cut. Doesn't he have any knowledge of what it does for the state? And then you're discouraging students to go to school here in Alaska when they go in Lower 48 and can get school for cheaper.
Uh-huh.
So that makes no sense. You want to have people determined to go to school here after they graduate from high school. Not somewhere else.
Okay.
And then they come back here and get a job and they got to educate them through a different system.
Gotcha.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you, Joe, for calling.
Yes, thank you.
So next we have Tiffany Zulkowski, our representative, calling in from Juneau, from Bethel. Good morning, Tiffany. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning, Diane. Thanks for the opportunity to call in this morning.
Well, I'm glad you did, because actually there's been a few callers that have called in and they have a concern that you... one caller even thought that you were supporting zero PFD. And so I'm just wondering, where are you at with the PFD?
Yeah, no, I absolutely support the permanent fund dividend. As I said through my campaign last summer, our district, I understand very much as the only daughter of a single mom and somebody who had to pay my way through college, I absolutely understand how important every dollar that our families in our district get are important when it comes to the dividend. I think what's some information that is still hard for me to wrap my hands around is understanding the larger picture of Alaska's budget right now. And without any sort of opportunity for the legislature to consider new revenues, for example, oil tax credits, income taxes, we're being put in a position of having to evaluate what is the best way to spend Alaska's resources in terms of the revenues that we have for our operating budget and our capital budget. You know, the governor has promised Alaskans a full statutory dividend, which is essentially a $3,000 dividend. But what may be not as highly reported is that in order to make revenue available to pay those dividends, he has liquidated or fully swept the Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund. He has liquidated all revenue for that pays college scholarships for Alaska students who get performance scholarships to our university. Those types of funds that he's also wanting to pull from include funds in our operating budget, so reducing Medicaid and eliminating dental services, healthcare services, eliminating behavioral health grants. These are dollars that come into our district. So, for example, if the Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund is liquidated, as the governor has taken action to do so, in our district, people will see their electric rates double, possibly triple. So even if families in our district get a full $3,000 statutory dividend, that money is going to go right out the window to pay for those increased electricity costs. Mm-hmm. It will go towards having to pay for airline tickets to get into, you know, larger communities to have dental work done. He has also eliminated 20% of the Village Public Safety Officer program. That will impact public safety in our rural communities. And so it's really important for Alaskans across the state to understand that these types of cuts, from the business community to the nonprofit community to everyday Alaskans, have said these types of cuts will damage our economy, it will harm Alaskans, and especially in our district, it will hurt not just you know, the services that people in our communities receive. That $3,000 will probably go towards, you know, trying to offset some of those impacts without being able to pay for all of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have seen, you know, a proposal for $1,600 dividend with a restoration of the cuts that he's, that Dunleavy's proposing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you lay it all out like that, the, if for an extra $1,400, there's the trade-off is really enormous.
So, yeah. So this week, and you know, I really would love to be at home in Bethel right now. I'm seeing pictures of people berry picking. and I'm here in Juneau for our second special session. And I took two votes this week. One, I took a vote that restores funds for Medicaid. It restores funds for our university system. If the university's budget is cut 40% in this fiscal year, we could potentially see rural campuses throughout Alaska have to close as a result of it. You know, there's a lot of impacts that would be felt not just in urban areas, but in our rural communities as well. And so I made a vote this week to restore the funds and the budget cuts that the governor put forward. The second vote, which I took just this morning on the floor, was to pay a $1,600 dividend, which is, you know, we are going to be taking another vote on the capital budget on Monday, which would be to restore the Power Cost Equalization Fund. There has to be a good balance between protecting these services that keep our families in our district economically sound, but also pays a really healthy dividend. And mm-hmm. So there's no easy answer, especially with a governor that is unwilling to consider new revenue. But I am committed to making sure that our families still have power cost equalization funds, that they still have investment in rural water and sewer, that we have investment in public safety services, that our district will continue to benefit from Medicaid, which enables people to travel from their village clinics to Bethel or even to Anchorage and beyond, as well as having as strong of a dividend as possible so that we can continue to pay dividends well into the future.
Mm-hmm. If you wouldn't, I think it might be useful if you posted on your Facebook page, if you could just outline sort of where things are at. Like, you took a vote today, there's another vote on Monday. Does it also go from the House then to the Senate?
Mm-hmm.
So just to kind of clarify, so people kind of know the status of things. It's a little hard to get the information on, because there's all these votes and bills being forwarded. And so
yeah,
anyway, that would be just a little snippet. Mm-hmm. Would be helpful, educational.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. I try to do the best that I can to make to make sure that people are engaged in what's happening, but absolutely we'll make sure that we give an up-to-date on what's happening from today moving forward. I hope that if anybody has any questions about my position on the dividend or our state operating budget, that they feel free to reach out to my office in Juneau or reach out to me via Facebook, and I would be happy to clarify any questions.
Okay, thank you.
We're
going to go to a break. Thank you so much for calling. That was a lot of good information for people. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm going to pick a blueberry for Tiffany next time I'm out berry picking. All right. We have John from Anchorage, but we've got to go to a quick station break. So, John, if you wouldn't mind, just hang in there while we... Oh, in a minute, we're going to go to a station break. So I guess we'll take John's call. Are we taking John's call, Iris?
No.
I can't understand her. Oh, after the break. So, and it's a one-minute break. So hang in there, John. Thank you.
Okay. Meantime, Bethel. But there's a slight breeze outside, and I don't know what the temp is, you know, but it's, after the summer's heat, you know, 50 degrees feel pretty cool, you know. But wife and I, we went out over the last few days, you know, on Monday we went out for a berry picking camp. You know, our motor finally got fixed, and we took advantage of it and took off as soon as.
Oh my gosh! Was it mostly blueberries? Did you get
mostly
any salmon?
Mostly blueberries. Or? Yes, we got close to 5 gallons of everything.
Oh my gosh!
You know, but it took some time. But we were out there a couple of days behind Nunup, you know, around them lakes.
You know, 2 weeks ago I said I knew where 12 salmon berries were
yeah.
and that I was going to go get them and eat them, and I got them, but there were only 11, but I found them in the spot. It's just my spot.
Cool.
And they're very dependable, 11 to 12 salmon berries. I like them when they're bright orange, but then, you know, when they get super ripe, they're not quite as bright. They become like a kind of peachy color.
That's right.
And they're really plump and juicy look. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, so I got those, and I have my blueberry spots, but there's an elder, Esther Green. I like to take her to the spots.
Yeah.
So we're waiting until it gets a little bit warmer. It's a little chilly to take her out there, but anyway, I think we're going to our station break. There we go with our pretty guitar music there.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll be back in a minute.
TalkLine is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during TalkLine may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Pickin' Strings is an hour of hand-picked tunes, ranging from country classics to modern Americana. Pickin' Strings, 1 to 2 every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon on 640 AM KYUK.
Hi, I'm Clifford Fitka from Marshall, Alaska. The best in public radio for the Kuskokwim Delta is found right here on KYUK 640 in Bethel, Alaska.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Luna from Bethel, Alaska. You're listening to KYUK 640 AM in Bethel, Alaska, the YK Delta's best public radio station.
This is Hunter Dull from Bethel, Alaska. You're tuned in to KYUK 640 AM in Bethel, Alaska.
We're back. Yes, okay. We're back.
We have John from Anchorage. John, thank you so much for waiting. You're on talk line.
Yeah, boy, you could skip all that crap, you know.
Which crap?
All that advertising or whatever the heck was going on.
Well, you know, we're professionalizing ourselves.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, John, what's on your mind?
What irritates me is the fact that the welfare we're paying to international oil companies does not enter this discussion ever. Mm. And that really irritates me.
Say more about that. What do you mean by welfare to oil companies?
We're paying them $1.2 billion a year to pump resources out of our state and sell it and make money. And why are we paying them to do that? You know, quit. Let's leave it in the ground if we got to pay them to take it.
We could negotiate a better deal.
But that doesn't ever come up in this discussion about the budget. They refuse to discuss the fact that we're giving away all this money.
Yeah. Now, when they do studies on Alaska and oil companies and other countries and even other parts of the United States and oil companies, the oil companies in Alaska have the best deal by far. We grant them larger tax breaks than in any other place. So, to your point.
Yes. And they whine and say, oh, it's so expensive to do this. Well, go home, guys. You know, if it's too expensive, leave. Leave it in the ground and we'll deal with it when it's not too expensive. You know, if it's not benefiting us, the people of Alaska, go away.
Okay. Well, thank you, John. That was clear.
Yeah.
So glad you called.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.
All right. So we have Doug from Delta Backhaul on the line. Good morning, Doug. Welcome to Talkline.
Oh, hey. Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. How are you?
Good.
What's up?
I just wanted to say thank you to the city of Bethel, all the people that participated in our backhaul event that we hosted on Wednesday. We collected a bunch of household hazardous waste and electronics, and we had a good showing of people that came out and participated. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say thanks to the community for welcoming us. And hopefully this will be an annual event. And we really enjoyed being here.
Yes, and then maybe you ought to hold it for a couple of days at least.
Oh, yeah.
The event for a couple of days?
Yes, well, you know, because Bethel is huge, getting bigger. And then, like, for myself and my wife, we were out picking berries, and then we missed the event.
Well, this was the first event, so we're going to look at kind of lessons learned for what we did this year, and we're going to, you know, start planning for next year. And if we need to do a multi-day event, maybe that would work out better for residents. But yeah, this year was the first time we'd ever held one here, and I think it was the first time anybody's ever held one here. And we got a lot of thanks from residents just saying, look, we've been accumulating this waste for 10 years or more, and we just had no alternative where to take this waste. So thank you for taking it. So
how you're going to ship it out.
And today we're down at the lot and we're packaging it up in 20-foot Connexes, and it will be shipped out of Bethel and to Seattle for recycling or disposal down in the lower 48. So this is material that won't go to the Bethel landfill.
That's so cool. Did you get a lot? I mean, how much did you get?
Well, it's hard to tell weight.
How many Connexes or whatever?
We filled 7 Connexes.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
It was a lot. When we were looking towards the end of the day on the event on Wednesday, and we just kind of looked out over the lot and saw how much material we had accumulated and how much stuff people had, it was amazing to see all that stuff. So I'm just thankful that that stuff is out of people's yards yeah. not going to the landfill now, and it will be disposed of or recycled properly.
Oh, what a great event. Thank you so much for you. And I think Rose, I think, was part of coordinating that. AVCP, and Owen's.
A huge part. Rose and Nastasha did a lot of
running Nastasha.
Around and getting different sponsors. I do want to thank Donlin Gold and Nova Gold for putting up the money to host this event. There was no, you know, there was no government dollars in this at all. It was all private donations through them. I'd also like to thank Crowley, Alaska Marine Lines, Chilista, YK Health Corporation, Central Recycling Services, and NRC. I mean, those guys, they're down there now doing a lot of work putting all that stuff into the containers. So it was just a great event, and it took everybody's help to pull it together. And again, I'm hopeful that we're able to do this next year as well.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, that's great. Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on. And like I said, I just wanted to give a shout-out and say thanks again to Bethel for having us here and letting us host an event.
Thanks for calling, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Hey, you bet.
Okay. All right, we have round two of Willie. Good morning, Willie. Welcome back.
Hey, I was happy to hear Tiffany.
Oh, good. Okay.
So let's go back about 3 years ago, and Senator Hoffman's been managing to slide under the radar here. Mm-hmm. And the way that your PFD is being calculated now has to do with Senator Hoffman and the Republicans that sat on the Senate Finance Committee, I think it was 2016, maybe 17. And to make it easy to understand, the PFD was an automatic payment. It was like, oh, we're building a runway in Quinhawk. That's $10 million. And the feds are paying 80%. The state has automatic kick-in of 20%. It was just an automatic thing. That's how the PFD was always calculated. You remember when we used to sit around and wait for the big date when they announced how much it was going to be? You know, the governor had announced it. It was always a big deal. Well, they changed that with sleight of hand to where, oh, we can put it over into this funding source, and then we have to appropriate it. Well, that's where they're at right now. Now they've decided that they don't have to follow statutory law. They're just going to figure out what they want to appropriate. So I'm going, why didn't Tiffany just go ahead and say, let's just put $3,000 on the PFD during the first 30 days? She could have put a bill out there with the number attached. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, they didn't even work the first 30 days of the session. And here we still are in the middle of this, paying for all of this legislative time and no PFD announcements. They're not even close to coming to it.
I think Monday is the vote on that.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, we will. Yeah, of course.
And then what's the governor going to do? Is he going to veto? And then we go back to round 4, 5, 6, 7. Who knows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my question is, when was the last time anybody ever saw Senator Hoffman in a village that he couldn't get to with a boat going towards Napakia or to Napaimu? When's the last time Lyman participated in anything? I hear Lyman's house is for sale. They're in City Sub.
Well, I don't think we need to get like personal on that part, but you're...
Diane, we have a right to know where our senators are living.
Oh, okay.
We've got senators calling me from Juneau that are Republicans going, where's he live? Does he ever show up there? I says, no, his house is in Anchorage. It used to be listed that way on Google. Lyman and Vivian live in Anchorage, you know. He changed that. But anyway, the long and the short, when did anybody ever get a chance to talk to Lyman in the village? Answer that. And then tell me why Lyman couldn't just change the statutory law instead of doing sleight of hand, along with some Republicans They're all guilty. That's what I'd like to know. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Hey.
Thank you.
Okay.
We have Yvonne from Bethel. Good morning, Yvonne. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning to both of you.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Yvonne.
With due respect to the previous callers, thank God for KYUK and the rights of this country to disagree. But anyway, here's a... I'm still mad at BNC board without our consent of the shareholders. They went ahead with that liquor issue. And it backfired and AC got it. And then we closed AC, then that first showed up in housing and all them people, all the negative things that came along with it stopped. The answer is right in front of our noses. My people, me and my people, we come in and indulge, right? We don't know how to drink. We can't put the cap back on a bottle. Look at these, all the problems that come with it. PD calls, ambulance calls, PWC's full, I bet, the jail. Them children, oh, will call no mom and dad? That's why we don't want a liquor store here. And my former Bethelites, they know already. They know the bad negative effects of having a liquor store. Growing up, we've seen it. And thank God for this. We have a right to disagree. And we see all the negative things happening out there. That's my people out there laying around, passed out on you know where. You've seen it. And that's why we have that right to disagree with that, too. And this, remember, this governor, he's governor-elect. And I have buddies from all walks of life, and I ain't prejudiced. I ask my one buddy, do people in Anchorage and Fairbanks outnumber the Alaska Natives? He said, no. You don't like what's going on, register to vote. We have upcoming election again in October. We need your vote. And that goes all over Alaska, Alaska Natives. They need a vote. Makes me more mad. The governor, he went ahead for that. He's going for that marijuana store in Anchorage. And we disagree with that here, too, in Bethel. And I believe it's going to be on the ballot. What the hell is wrong? Chief Eddie and our mom and dads, they wouldn't tolerate this, having a dope store. That ain't part of America, high state. Hell with dope, it leads to harder drugs. I know, I seen it. In my family, and I've seen all around my native people. So who the hell these outsiders come to my hometown in Bethel and open up this liquor stores and dope stores? Gee, that's where our mom and dad were. They wouldn't tolerate this. But anyway, I hope they talk about this 900 and 1600, 3 grand. Did they cut the PCE, that power equalization cost?
That's they're proposing to cut that in order to pay for a larger PFD, that and many other cuts.
Gee, would we better save that for our electric bill? It's going to go up. It's going to double.
Yes.
And those of you that don't vote, register to vote. Good morning.
Ivan.
Yeah.
Question, a river question. Any silvers yet?
One of my buddies, he checked the fishing game status record, and they're not quite there yet. But they should be on their way, and Hey, you know, this global warming, every time I go berry picking, I'm seeing dead fish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a holy cow. And I listened to the elders yesterday on the Yupik talk show. Mm-hmm. And I listened to their predicament on what's happening.
Yeah.
Maybe global-wise we need to... I don't know, maybe we need to start going green. Only way. Mm. Yeah, okay, good morning.
Okay, all right. Thank all right. you,
Good morning. Just real quick, KYUK a few minutes ago posted a story on the dead chum that are lining the banks of one of Yukon River's largest tributaries, and a team of scientists is headed to the river on July 26 to gather data. They suspect that the dead chum that are lining the banks are from the warm water temperatures.
Yeah.
So, okay, we have Susan from Bethel. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning and happy Friday.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with everything Yvonne says. I mean, he's got good words there. And people need to vote, and they need to know what they're voting for. I guess that last liquor ballot, people voted the wrong direction. They didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I'm all for the democratic process. I mean, I never voted for a liquor store, never have, never will. But if that's what people want out of the elections, then that's what we got. And I understand there was a petition going around to change the alcohol availability to being, I haven't seen the wording of it, and I understand there was another petition about changing the marijuana to I think, local option or some kind of options. Because as it is now, four or five people are applying to do pot shops out here, and that's just too much. Even people that voted to legalize pot are telling me, no, that's too much, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think people need to really know what they're voting for and register to vote. Mm. And then it can really know what the people really want instead of just arguing about it and about what alcoholism is and all that. I think if everybody understands what they're voting for and they do register the vote, because that is your civil duty, I believe. I believe if you don't vote, you shouldn't be complaining about stuff because you didn't vote, you know. Mm-hmm. But I want to put in a positive plus, though. There is a school supply drive going on, and I'll have material information on that at the Saturday market tomorrow. And it's done by I'm with that Women's Philanthropy Delta group, and some of the people there started it, and I said, well, I'll promote it at the Saturday market. So, and you can bring supplies there, too. I'll have a collection bin there. But the flyer has information how you can give directly to the different schools and what the different schools want or need. And, you know, this is really important because education is the only thing nobody can take away from you. But there's budget cuts going into our education system. And kids, some of them, their families can't afford the school supplies. They're going to have higher electric bills and all that stuff with if these budget cuts go through. So it's all important that these kids do have the supplies they need, and the teachers don't have to dig into their own pockets, which I know they end up doing. And bless their hearts, you know. But we need to, as a community, really stand behind our kids and show them that we believe in them and we care about them and we love them. So think about the school supply drive as a way of giving that message to them. All right, thanks and have a good day.
Thanks, Sue.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Okay. Wow. School supply drive.
Okay. And you'll probably recognize Susan at her table because she always has like a lot of cool little cards and things that kids would enjoy. So it makes sense that she would collect that. Okay. So, well, we had a lot of stuff.
We did have a lot of
been discussed. I have an email here I'm going to read. This is from Anonymous. The voters brought the liquor store to Bethel, not AC. Well, that's a good point. Diane, why do you pick on them? Another hour plus of advertisements for Bethel and our area. I see our state with all the people, with all the people's riches, has to pay more to borrow money along with the city of Bethel due to substandard business practices. Okay. Thank you for your email. And we have another email. I'm just going to give the basic message of this email because the email contained sort of a slam on one of the city council members, and I don't think we should do personal slams when you send emails, but the opinion that you have is really important, and this person would like to not increase the number of bottles that someone can purchase at the liquor store. They would like, yeah. So next we have Chuck Isak.
Chuck Isak.
From Bethel. Good morning.
Good morning to Chuck Isak.
Chuck Isak.
Good morning.
Yes.
Yesterday I said this in Yupik, but you know, of course, Peter, I'll do my best to, you know, send this message out to our loved ones out there,
okay,
people, brothers, sisters, about this alcohol issue. People bring it up, you know, there's pros and cons to this. People don't want it, people that drink. But anyways, like I said yesterday, if you must go drink, purchase your alcohol, please wait till you get to your destination. And please think of your children, the consequences, how it will hurt you or others. We know there are many out there that are hurting, especially our surrounding villages. They come to get, you know, their supply. And some, unfortunately, drink on the way. So I'm just asking those folks, you know, to wait till you get to your destination. Please, urgently. We love you. We care for you. You know, we're not putting you down. We just want you to be very safe.
Yes.
And think about yourself. So I will hopefully just try to call every now and then to remind our brothers and sisters out there. So let's not put them down. You know, many people are being put down. They all have choices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not their liquor store. It's not, you know, it's their choice. And nobody shoves it down their throat. But their choice. So let's really think of our loved ones out there. It's all just being one course of loving one another despite these negative or positive stuff. Let's just keep loving them no matter what. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. John from Bethel.
Well, good morning.
Okay, welcome John to Bethel. Welcome John to Bethel. Bethel from John. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah. Morning, John.
I was in Anchorage, but now I'm in Bethel.
Oh, are you the Anchorage John for round two?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
I just wanted to respond to the comments made by Susan about the pot stores. What's the difference if there's one or 30? I mean, you know. Same with liquor stores. Either there's one or 30, and it doesn't matter. Once one's open, you can get what you want. Maybe you don't have to stand in line. It doesn't matter that there are five applications, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Well, we just like people to state their opinion. We don't always respond to it. Okay. Thank you, John.
Oh, I thought you guys fell asleep.
No. Oh, no.
No.
Not at all. We're very alert.
Okay. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Who cares how many? If there's one or 20. Bye.
Right. Oh, yeah. Now, see, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have one, everyone goes to that one. If you have five, everyone goes to that five. More stores doesn't mean there'll be more pot. It just means that it'll be spread out. Because whoever's going to buy, they're going to buy, whether there's one store or five. So I can't really see what's on the screen there. I can't hear you either, Iris. You have to, plug yourself in.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there's an email. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. Sorry. Okay, so one email I have is, if you want to make change, the native vote is what we need. So that's someone calling for native vote. And I think if you go to Tiffany Zolkowski's Facebook page, I think she gives a summary of the kind of votes that are happening now and on Monday that are about the PFD. So right now, the House of Representatives has passed a 1,605 PFD, and have restored some of the budget cuts that Dunleavy proposed. That's going to the Senate for a vote. So if you want to learn more about that, please do go to her Facebook page where she gives a summary of what's going to happen in the next few days in terms of votes. We have Alyssa on the line. Good morning, Alyssa. Welcome to Talkline.
Hey, good morning. Hey. I'm just calling in to talk about city council a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of people have been, you know, starting to pay more attention, I think. I can admit I've only started paying attention when I found out our council wasn't going to, you know, wasn't in support of piping the avenues. So, you know, it's been a little crazy lately. I really encourage people to tune in to KYUK and listen to it live instead of just getting clips, or even just go sit there and be present and watch their body language. Cause there's a lot more you can get. And a lot of times they even count, certain council members will lean back on their microphones and you can't hear what they're saying. I just encourage people, you know, Monday is when the announcement or the packets are available at the city to, you know, announce your candidacy. And we really need people who are willing to put in the work and do their research ahead of meetings so they're not just shooting off the cuff on every agenda item. Really need people who put in the time and effort and, you know, take this job seriously, or this volunteer position, take it seriously. I hope we can get more people paying attention and just listening, and then, you know, maybe we can get some more people to run.
Okay. Are you thinking about that, Alyssa?
You know, I'm not really at this time, and because I don't feel like I'm ready, and I feel like that's important for anyone thinking about it, because it seems like some of these council members didn't realize how much work it was going to be.
Oh, right. Oh, well, Alyssa, it sounds like we're kind of getting ready to close shop here.
Yeah, no, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm glad you called.
Have a good weekend.
Yes, you
too. All right,
so, thank
you.
Wow, we had an array of calls.
Yeah, what did we have? We had like over 20 calls and a couple of emails.
Yes.
So the PFD is hot on people's minds. You can find out more about the votes that have happened at Tiffany Zolkowski's Facebook page, where she's posted the vote, and that is happening in Juneau now and on Monday. And we also had concerns about the alcohol being sold in Bethel, marijuana stores, having one, having four. What are the ramifications of that?
Climate change issues.
So we have a fun drive or a school supply drive tomorrow at the... Oh, my. Okay. Ooh.
Oh, God.
I don't know what's happening.
You've got to write that one in to a talk show.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, a wolf is calling in.
Yes. And among the most well, we appreciate all you callers.
Oh, they're talking.
They're found from the Bering Sea coast in northern Alaska.
We're done.
Oh, we're done. Oh, okay. Oh, no. Oh, I thought we had to talk for the whole 3 minutes. Okay. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
Bright red legs and feet.